B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psochim Daf Peiches. We're going to start approximately in the middle of the Omud, 20 lines from the top. Yosoim sheshochatu alov apotropsim. And this takes us back to the Mishnah on Peizayin Omud Aleph, the beginning of the Perek, where the Mishnah says that if an orphan, sheshochatu alov apotropsim, that two of his guardians both shechted the Korban Pesach on his behalf, Yechal b'mokim shu reitzeh, he can eat the Korban Pesach wherever he prefers. Says the Gemara, Shomus mino yesh brera. Can we assume and learn from here that the concept of brera? Brera means that you can retroactively determine what was intended back then, which means that whilst he's eating the Korban Pesach, he's going to come to the Seder, he's going to choose which Korban Pesach to eat, and then retroactively it will be determined that the Shechita and the Zrika was done on with this particular Korban Pesach and not with the other Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, no, this halacha, that an orphan, that a yosim, can choose any Korban Pesach he wants, is not because of Breira. Breira means that we need the Shechita and the Zrika to be done on behalf of this particular person. We need his consent, his permission. And since we don't have it at the time of Shechita and Zrika, and he's only going to decide when they come to eat it, we have an issue of Breira, that what he's determining later is going to work retroactively. But he says over here, in the case of the Yosem, we actually don't need his consent. We don't need his permission. There's a special posuk, Omer Abzera. Abzera says that the posuk says, Vayikhu lahem ish se lebeis ovois se labois. That means the people, the members of your household, and in this case, it's the orphan that's under the authority of these apotropsin, then even if he does not consent, mikol mokim, in any case, they can determine which Korban Pesach will be from him. And all there is an issue, a person cannot be registered on two Korban Pesachs, so all we need is that at the time before he eats, he excludes himself from one of them. But the fact that he's been included in the Korban Pesach that he's going to decide later did not really need his permission. Since it didn't need his permission, we don't really need Breira. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Se Lebais. What else do we learn from the posuk of Seh, with the posuk we just mentioned, Vayikhu lohem ish, every person takes Seh, which is a lamb, lebeis ovis, for his household, Seh lebois, a lamb for the house. Says the Braisa, Melamed she'odom mevi v'sheichet al yidei b'noi u'bitoi haktanim, that a person, an adult, a father, is allowed to shech the Korban Pesach, he has permission to do it for his son or daughter, ktanim, that are minors, a girl before bas mitzvah, before the age of 12, a boy before bar mitzvah, before the age of 13. Validei avdei v'shivchosei haknanim, a slave or maid, a non-Jewish slave or maid, eved v'shivcho haknanim, which are also totally under his protection, and they are totally dependent on him, and therefore it's considered they are his household, and therefore it's the owner, it's the master, it's the father that determines which Korban Pesach they are going to belong to. And they have no say, we don't need their consent at all. Bein midaiton, irrespective of whether we have their consent, bein shalei midaiton, or if we do not have their consent. Either way, the master, the father, determines which Korban Pesach they belong to. So this is one group of people, a group of people who are totally under their masters, parents, which are either b'noi u'bitei haktanim or avdoi v'shivchosei haknanim. Those two, it's one bracket of people, and they are, we do not need their consent at all. And now there's a second bracket of people, and this includes three different sets. Aval einoi sheichet al yidei b'noi u'bitei hagdolim, a father cannot impose on his child, which are over bar and bas mitzvah, the b'noi b'tei agdolim, he cannot impose on them a Korban Pesach, v'al yedei avdei v'shivchosei ho'ivrim, or an eved, a slave, or a maid who are Jewish, who are Yidden. And obviously the shivcha, the maid, is always going to be a minor because there is no such concept as an omoi vriya, which is above the age of bas mitzvah. But either way, the avdei v'shivchosei ho'ivrim, that he cannot impose on them a Korban Pesach, Va'alidei Ishtoi, and his wife also, even though she's married to him and somewhat dependent, but she's not dependent on him in an absolute way, she can say, I'm going to work and I'm going to use the money to sustain myself and don't need you to help me to sustain me. Unlike Benoyu Bitoy Aktanim and Eved V'Shifcho Aknanim. And therefore, these three, the Ishto, his wife, or Avdei V'Shivchosoi Ivrim, or Bnoyu Bitoy HaGdoilim, they cannot, the Korban Pesach cannot be imposed on them, Elo Midaiton, and he needs their consent in order to, for them to be included in a Korban Pesach that he decides. Tanya Idoch, and another Braisa, and the first half of the Braisa is identical to the first Braisa, just this Braisa is going to have an extra couple of statements at the end, which the Gemara is going to discuss. Lo yishchoit odom, this Braisa starts from the second group, that lo yishchoit odom, a person cannot shecht, lo yal yedei b'noyu b'tei hagdoilim, he cannot shecht a Korban Pesach and have the blood be sprinkled, be thrown on the Mizbeach on behalf of his b'noyu b'tei hagdoilim, his children who are not minors, v'al yedei avdei v'shivchosei ha'ivrim, nor for a slave or maid which are yidden, v'al yedei ishtoi, or for his wife. Elo midaiton, unless he has their consent, their permission. Avol sheichetu al yedei b'noyu b'tei haktanim, v'al yedei avdei v'shivchosei haktanim. However, the other bracket, which is his younger children under bar and bas mitzvah, or the avdei v'shivchosei haknanim, bein midaiton, bein shelo midaiton, he doesn't need their consent, whether he has their permission or whether he doesn't. He is the one, the master, the father, determines which Korban Pesach they're going to belong to. And now this braisa adds on a couple of lines. V'kulon, and this is referring to the bracket of his the children who are minors, and to the avdei v'shivchosei haknanim, v'kulon sheshochatu v'shochat rabon alein, in the event that he's got a young child under bar mitzvah, for example, who shecht his own Korban Pesach, and the master, the father, shechts a Korban Pesach on behalf of the child, then yotzin b'shel rabon, then actually it's the father or master that determines which Korban Pesach the child or slave is going to be dependent on and registered on. And even though the child, the Bnoyu B'tei HaKtanim or the Eved V'Shivcho HaKnanim, even though they shechted their own Korban Pesach, which is, there's no bigger protest than that to say, I'm not giving you permission, I'm not giving you consent, I'm doing on my own. Nonetheless, we don't need his consent, and he is dependent on the Korban Pesach that was shechted for him by his father or master. Ve'ein yotzim b'shel atzman, they cannot be yotze the Korban Pesach with their own Korban Pesach. Now, chutz mino isha, and now it's saying that in the case of the woman, the wife, and this the Gemara is about to explain, it's not only the isha, it's that whole second bracket, whether it's isha, avdei v'shivchosei ha'ivrim, or b'noyu b'tei hagdoilim, that in that bracket, she'yicholo limchos, in that bracket you need their consent. And if they protest by bringing their own Korban Pesach, obviously it's their own Korban Pesach, which is the one that they're registered on and can eat, and not the one of their husband, father, or master. Asks the Gemara, Maishna Isha. Now the Gemara is discussing the end of this braisa we just learned. Why do you single out the wife? There's no difference between the wife and Bnoyu B'tei HaGdoilim or Avdei V'Shivchosei HaIvrim. Says Maishna Isha, why have you singled out a woman as if to say she can protest, she can refuse to give consent, as it would seem, in contrast to the others? What's the difference? Omar Rava said, no, there's no difference. Isha v'chol de domila. But the braisa meant is the woman and all those similar to her in the same bracket, which includes Bnoyu B'tei HaGdoilim and Avdei V'Shivchosei HaIvrim. Now the Gemara is asking another question. Ha gufa kasha. There seems to be a contradiction within the braisa. Omrus chutz mino isha she'yicholo limchos. The last statement of the braisa says that a woman can protest and say, I don't want to be relying on your Korban Pesach, on husband's Korban Pesach, and she can do that, and then she's registered on her own Korban Pesach. What can we deduce from there? Taima demochi, that the only reason that she's not registered on her husband's Korban Pesach is because she made a protest. That's what it says, she chaylo limchois. She can protest, but it's only if she protests. Ha loy mochi. But if she doesn't protest, even if she doesn't give explicit permission, nonetheless, nafka b'shel baila, she can be yotze the Korban Pesach with the Korban Pesach that the husband brought on her behalf. So it seems that the stoma, even if she doesn't verbally express consent, that's still okay, as long as she didn't express a protest. And this seems to contradict what it says early on in the Braisa. V'oktoni reisha, v'lo yali de'ishtoi. The beginning of the Braisa says that the husband cannot bring a Korban Pesach on behalf of his wife, elom midaiton, only if he has consent, which would mean explicit consent. Hostoma. We can deduce from the beginning of the Braisa that if she doesn't give explicit consent, even if she doesn't protest, lo inafka, then the husband cannot register her on the Korban Pesach. Answers the Gemara, no, it's not a contradiction. My midaiton, when it says at the beginning of the Braisa that the husband can shech the Korban Pesach for his wife, if he has her consent, loid de omri in. We don't need that she verbally expresses permission and consent. Elo bistoma, it's enough that she didn't protest, and it's mistoma, we take it for granted that she wants to be registered by, on the Korban Pesach, the husband is going to shecht on her behalf. La'afuke heicha de omru loy. But this excludes a case where she says explicitly no. And that's what it says at the end of the Braisa, that chutz minoisha sheichoy lo limchoys. If she says I don't consent, if she doesn't consent, then obviously she's not going to be registered on the Korban Pesach the husband brought on her behalf. Asks the Gemara, v'hakulam, now let's go to the other group. If you're explaining the Braisa to mean that in the group of Ishtoi and Avdu v'shivchosoi ho'ivrim and b'noi b'tei agdoilim, that the stoma is that they all do agree to be registered on their father's, master's, husband's Korban Pesach, which is done on their behalf, and it's just if they explicitly protest, then we listen to them and their protest is valid, then now let's move to the other bracket, to the Bnoi Ubite Haktanim and Avdoi V'Shivchosei Haknanim. V'hokulom sheshochatu v'shochat rabon aleim. On that group, the Braisa said that, both Braisas for that matter, that, no, I'm sorry, it's only the second Braisa. In this second Braisa, it says that in that group, if the masters or father shechted on their behalf and they shechted also for themselves, then it says that they are Yoitza B'Shel Rabbon, that we assume that they are Yoitza with their masters or their father's Korban Pesach, Yoitza B'Shel Rabbon. Over there, did they explicitly protest? No, they just brought their own Korban Pesach. They didn't protest. And what do we see from there? That even if they didn't protest, then the stoma is that they follow their rabbon. Well, why is that different to the other bracket of Ishtoi, Avdei V'Shivchosei Ha'ivrim, and B'nai U'Bitei Agdolim? We just now explained that in the case of the wife and that group, then the stoma is that she follows her husband. Then, well, the same seems to be true with the B'nai U'Bitei Aktanim, that they follow their fathers or their masters, if it's Avdei V'Shivchosei Haknanim, and that's a case of stoma. So where is there a difference between the two groups? Uktoni, chutz mino isha mepnei sheichoy lo limchos. And then you say that the what's unique with an isha is that she can protest. Okay, but they can all protest, because it's only in the absence of protest where there's a stoma that they follow the their masters. What's the difference between the two groups? Says the Gemara, Omar Rava. Rava says, no, you misunderstood something. In that way, it says in the Braisa that v'kulon sheshochatu v'shochat rabon alein, that that bracket of b'noi u'bite aktanim v'avdu shivchose aknanim, where the Braisa says that if the master or father brought a Korban Pesach on their behalf and they brought a Korban Pesach themselves, that they are subject to the father's master's Korban Pesach, not to their own, don't say that means when they didn't protest. The very fact, kivon sheshochtu, the very fact that they shechted their own Korban Pesach, ein lechom michui gadol mizeh, there's no bigger protest than that. So in the case of b'noi u'bitei aktanim and avdei v'shivchosei haknanim, in that case, even if they explicitly protest and say, we don't want you father or master's Korban Pesach, it doesn't matter, they are still subject to the father or master's Korban Pesach, and they cannot eat the Korban Pesach that they brought themselves. In contrast to his wife, b'noi u'bitei agdoilim, and avdei v'shivchosei ha'ivrim, where with them, if they don't protest, then we take it for granted they do want to follow their father's, master's, or husband's Korban Pesach. If they do protest, either by explicitly protesting or by bringing their own Korban Pesach, which is a protest, then they use their own Korban Pesach. Continues the Gemara. Eved shel shnei shutfin. And this is, again, back to the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah that if you have a slave, an Eved Kenani, who belongs to two partners, then half of him belongs to Reuven, half of him belongs to Shimon. And Reuven and Shimon both shechtu Karban Pesach for this slave. Lo yoichal mishel shnein, he cannot eat from either of the two masters. Says the Gemara, Romi le Rav Ino Saba le Rav Nachman. Rav Ino Saba asked Rav Nachman the following question. Tanan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Eved shel shnei shutfin, lo yoichal mishel shnein. In our Mishnah it says that this slave cannot eat from either of the Korban Pesachs. He cannot eat from Reuven's Korban Pesach because the Shimon part of this slave wasn't registered. The Shimon didn't give the Shimon part permission to be registered with Reuven's Korban. And the same applies to that the Reuven part didn't get permission from Reuven to be registered on the Shimon's Korban Pesach. So he's not been registered at all. He cannot eat either of the Korbonis. That's what it says in our Mishnah. Votanya, this seems to contradict what it says in a Braisa that says, Rotzom mizeh oichel, Rotzom mizeh oichel. There's a Braisa that says that a slave belonging to two masters can choose whichever Korban Pesach he wants to eat with. Well, how does that work? Can he choose or can he not eat with either? Answers the Gemara, Omar Leir of Nachman answered to Rav Ino Saba, Rav Ino the Elder, Ino Saba. That's how he addressed him. Ino Sabar, Ino the Elder. V'omri lo, others say that he addressed him, Pasya Uchma, a black vessel. And Rashi in other places explains that this was a fond way of referring to Talmidei Chachomim, who are so engrossed in their learning that they don't have time to take care for the cleanliness of their clothes, and therefore their clothes were sometimes a little bit darkened. But either way, he addressed this Rav Ino Saba and told him, Mini uminoch, between me, what I, Rav Nachman, am about to answer you, and you, Rav Ino Saba, the question you asked, Tistayim Shmaita, this subject is going to be concluded. That Masnisin, the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says he cannot eat from either Bedekopti, when this Reuven and Shimon, the two masters, they're spiteful against each other, and they're not happy, they don't get on with each other, and then we can assume that Reuven doesn't give the Reuven part of the slave permission to be registered with Shimon's Korban, and the same with Shimon. But the Kopti Adodi, they're spiteful against each other. But the Braisa, the Braisa is talking about where either Reuven or Shimon, they get on well together, both masters, and therefore they both don't mind whether the Eved is entirely registered on Reuven or entirely registered on Shimon. They give each other permission, and that's what the Braisa says. He can choose to eat from whichever one he desires. Continues the Gemara. Misha chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chayrin. We saw again in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin on Medalef. If you have a slave, that half of him is a slave and half of him has been set free. For example, if he once belonged to two owners, Reuven and Shimon, Shimon set him free, Shimon's part. Reuven did not set him free. So now you've got half a person being a slave, half a person being a free man. Then the Mishnah says, Lo yoichal mishel raboy, he cannot eat the Korban Pesach from his master, because the free part of him, the master probably didn't intend to register the free part of him. Reuven, let's say that Reuven owned half of him, and the slave owned himself half, then Reuven, when Reuven registered the slave, he probably only registered his own part. And the other part, the Ben Chayrin part of him, has not been registered on the Korban Pesach, and he cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Mishel Rabbi Hu Delo Yoichel. The Mishnah just says that this slave cannot eat from his master's Korban Pesach, as we explained. Avol Mishel Atzmai, we can deduce from there that if this slave were to bring his own Korban Pesach, Yoichel, that he would be able to eat from his own Korban Pesach. Votanya, this seems to contradict an explicit ruling in a Braisa, lo yoichal lo mishaloi v'lo mishal raboi. In the same way as he cannot eat from Reuven, his master, or master of half of his Korban Pesach, he also can't eat from his own Korban Pesach, because the Reuven part is dependent on Reuven, as we saw before, that an Eved Knani is not able to choose which Korban Pesach. We saw that before in the Brises, and that he cannot choose to make his own Korban Pesach. So the Reuven part is dependent on Reuven. The free part might be able to bring his own Korban Pesach, but the other part can't eat it. So he cannot eat from either Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Lo Kasha. It's not a contradiction. Kan Commissioner Rishoino, Kan Commissioner Achreino. There's a halacha that had two stages. There was an earlier ruling and there was a later ruling. And according to the earlier ruling, we can understand that he cannot eat from his own Korban Pesach. However, according to the later ruling, we can actually understand that even though he still half belongs to Reuven, but he's considered as if he's totally in his own domain, in his own rishus, and therefore he's allowed to, he can bring his own Korban Pesach, and even the slave part can be registered on his own Korban Pesach, even though we said before that an Eved Knani is not able to make his own Korban Pesach. Nonetheless, according to the Mishnah Achreina, which we're about to learn, according to the later ruling, that would make sense. And before we learn what these rulings are, the bottom line is going to be that according to the later ruling, then any such situation where you have an Eved who's half ben chayrin, half free, and half a slave, then we actually force the owners to set him free. And in the same way as it's in our hands to force this Reuven, the owner of half of this Eved, to force him to go free, the very fact that we can force him to let him free already means that he has that level of freedom, and therefore he can make his own Korban Pesach, and even the slave part is already belongs to freedom because he's about to be freed, and we can force the master to free him. What were these two stages of this halacha? Titnan, we learned in a Mishnah. Mi shechetzi eved v'chetzi ben chayrin. If you have this eved whose half belongs to Reuven and half has been freed by possibly Shimon, and now he's his own boss, he's a free man, half. So oved is rabba yom echod. So one day he works for Reuven, his master. V'satzmo yom echod, and he's his own boss for one day. And that way, half of himself is slavery, and half of himself is freedom. Divri Bis Hillel, that's the opinion of Bis Hillel. Bis Shammai Omrim. Bis Shammai argued with Bis Hillel and said to Kantam is Rabbi, you're fixed up, you found a solution for the master. This Reuven, he owns half of this slave, so half of the days of the week he's going to be working for him, and therefore the master hasn't lost anything by the fact that his slave is half free. Verse Atzmai, however, the slave itself, Loi Tekantam, you haven't found a decent solution for the slave. Why? So it's true that the financial part of it, you found a solution. He's a free man, he works for himself half of the week, or half of the time. However, there's other issues which you have not solved for him. Who's he going to marry? Lissa Shifcha, is he going to marry a maid? Eino Yochel, he can't marry this non-Jewish maid, Shekva Chetzi Ben Chayrin, because only somebody who's a full Eved Knani, 100% of him is an Eved Knani, he can marry a Shifcha. But if he's half free, and once an Eved Knani becomes free, he has the halachas, he has to convert to Judaism, and he's not allowed to marry, the free part of him is not allowed to marry a Shifcha. Lisa Bas Chayrim, to marry a regular free woman, a Jewish woman, Eino Yochel, he can't do that either. She'adayin chetzio eved, because this woman is not allowed to marry somebody who's an eved. Yevatel, you're going to say he shouldn't get married? V'aloi lo nivra ha'olam, the world was only created Elola Piri of Rivia, in order to have children, to get married and have children. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, loy toihu bara. The world wasn't created to be void. Elo l'sheves yitzara. It was formed, the world was formed, in order to be inhabited. And since it's the tikkun ha'olam, it's the purpose of the world, is that people should get married and be able to have children, then this Eved, even though he's just a single Eved, he's half free and half a slave, how is he going to fix the world? He also has to fix the world. Since he has to fix the world and be part of the solution for the world, we kaifin is rabbi B'Shamay say we force his master, Voisoisu ben Chayrin, and he has to free him. You're going to say it's not fair. 50% of this slave, whatever that's worth in money, but 50% belongs to Reuven. If you're going to let this slave free, Reuven's going to lose that? No, because of Shtar al Chetzi Domov, then he has to sign a document acknowledging that 50% of his value actually belongs to Reuven and is becoming to Reuven, and the slave actually has to pay the master back with time. He has to pay him back what he owes him. So he's, so to speak, we're forcing the master to sell the other part of this, the slave part of this slave, to save, to sell it to him and to let him free. That was what Beis Shammai said. At some point, Beis Hillel, they changed their minds, they agreed to Beis Shammai's ruling. So that's what the Gemara said before. According to Beis Shammai's ruling, which Beis Hillel agreed to now, they all agree that we force the master to set the whole part of the slave free. If so, even though that hasn't yet happened, the slavery part is about to become free and is going to become free irrespective of whether the master wants to or not. Therefore, he's already in his own hands and he can bring his own Korban Pesach. And that's what we saw in the Braisa. That's what we saw before, that from the Mishnah, what we deduced from the Mishnah, that only Mishel Raboi Hu Delo Yechal, Aval Mishel Atzmo Yechal. And the Braisa that said that he cannot even eat from his own Korban Pesach is Beis Hillel before they changed their mind, where indeed half of him belongs to Reuven, and that part cannot eat from the free part's Korban Pesach. Continues the next Mishnah. Ha'omer le'avdo, if somebody says to his slave, and this is an Eved Knani, Tzei v'shchoit olai, go and shecht on my behalf as a Pesach, a Korban Pesach. Shocha, and he didn't tell him whether he should shecht a kid or whether he should shecht a lamb. Shochat gedi yoichel. If this slave chose the kid, yoichel, the master can eat the Korban Pesach from this Korban. Shochat le. If he didn't shecht a kid, he shechted a lamb, yoichel, he can eat that too. And the Gemara is going to soon ask, what's the chiddush? Shochat gedi utle. If he said to himself, I don't know what my master wants, I'll shecht two. I'll have two korbanos for my master. Yoichal min orishin. Then the first korban, the first one that was shechted for his master, is the one that's the actual Korban Pesach. And the second one has to be burnt, because a person cannot be registered on two Korban Pesachs. The second Korban Pesach was shechted for somebody who's already registered on a different Korban Pesach, and it has to be burnt. Continues the Mishnah. Shochach ma'omar lo'i rabbi. What happens if the master told the slave explicitly, I'm telling you to shecht a kid, or I'm telling you to shecht a lamb for Korban Pesach, and this slave forgot what his master told him, and now he wants to shecht the Korban Pesach for his master. He doesn't know. Should he shecht a kid? Should he shecht a lamb? Ketzad yaseh, what should he do? Says the Mishnah, yishchat tle ugdi. He should take a kid, and he should take a lamb, and he should shecht both of them. V'yomer, and he should make a condition as follows. Im gedi omar li rabbi, if my master told me to shecht a kid, gedi sheloi, then this kid will be his Korban Pesach, v'tle sheli, and the lamb will be my Korban Pesach. V'im tle omar li rabbi, and if my master said that I should shecht the lamb, then hatle sheloi, then the lamb will be his Korban Pesach, ugedi sheli, and then the kid will be my Korban Pesach. And then, assuming that the master hasn't forgotten what he said, he'll then go back to his master and say, here are the two animals, just remind me, which one did you want? You wanted the kid, here's your Korban Pesach, the other one is mine. You wanted a lamb, here's your lamb, the other one is mine. Shochach Rabbi, what happens if the master at some point also forgot? He doesn't remember what he told his slave. He knows that he told his slave exactly what to shecht, but he himself doesn't remember. Shochach Rabbi Ma Omar Loi, then Shneim Yotzu LeBeis HaSreifa, then both of them have to be burnt, because you can't eat any of them, because any one of them might be the other person's Korban Pesach, and you're not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach that you're not registered under. Upturin Milasis Pesach Sheni, however, they are exempt from bringing a Pesach Sheni, because Hashem knows which Korban belonged to who. So as far as Hashem is concerned, this Korban Pesach was shechted, and Nizrak Dome, and the blood was put on the Mizbeach on behalf of whatever the truth was, if the owner said, shecht for me a lamb, then even though the owner forgot later, so he cannot eat the lamb and he cannot eat the kids, but Hashem knows that the lamb was his and the lamb was shechted properly and was nizrak domai properly. And therefore, as far as Hashem is concerned, you've brought a Korban Pesach, you can't eat it. We've already learned previously that even if you don't eat a Korban Pesach, providing that the shechita and the zrika was done okay, then you're yotze, you don't need to bring a Pesach Sheni. Says the Gemara, Pshita, the beginning of the Mishnah said that if somebody told his slave to shecht a Korban Pesach for him, then it doesn't matter if he shechts a lamb, the lamb is kosher. If he shechts a kid, the kid is kosher. Says the Gemara, Pshita, well, why shouldn't it be? What's the chiddush? Answers the Gemara, Shochad gedi yoichel, afal gav derogil betle. We're talking about a master who was very accustomed to eating lamb. And he told his slave, shecht a Korban Pesach. So I may have thought that we take it for granted that he meant to tell his slave to shecht a lamb, and the slave went and shechted a kid, and I may have thought that it's not kosher, because it's as if the master said, shecht the lamb, not the kid. No, even though he's accustomed to eating the lamb, the kid is the kosher Korban Pesach. Shochat le, and the opposite case as well, if he shechted a lamb for him, yoichal, it's a kosher Korban Pesach, afal gav derogel but gedi, even though he's accustomed to eating the kid more than the lamb. Continues the Gemara, shochat gedi utle, what happens if this slave, he who was instructed by his master to shecht a Korban Pesach, the master didn't tell him whether to shecht a lamb or a kid, he went and he shechted two korbonis, both for the master. Shochat gedi utle, he shechted both. Then the Mishnah said the halacha was yoichal min harishon, then the master eats from the one that was shechted first, and the second one is going to be burnt, is not allowed to be eaten. Now, if we held yesh breira, which means that he was registered on any one of them, and the slave shechted both for him, as if to say, you master, you'll decide when I bring you the animals, when it comes to eating, you'll decide which one you want. If that was the case, if we held yesh breira, then why do we say yoichal min harishon, that the master has to eat from the one that was shechted first? He could eat, he could choose any of them. So it must be that we say that there's no breira. If we don't hold that you can retroactively determine what was intended, if so, then if ein breira, it must be that the time of the shechita, it's already clear that what the master wanted. And if the master, and since the master doesn't know, and he hadn't decided at the time of the shechita which one particular of these two he's going to be registered on, then it's as if he's registered on both. Asks the Gemara, V'otanya einim nin al shnei psochim ke'echod. There's no such thing as being registered on two Korban Pesachs and you'll just eat any one of them later. You can't do that. And if you are registered on two Korban Pesachs, you actually can't eat any of them. And therefore, how can you say yoichal min harishon? Why is the first one? Why can you eat the first one? He's registered on both. And anyone who's registered on both cannot eat any. Answers the Gemara, Masnisin b'melech u'malko. We're actually talking about a king and queen, where it makes so no difference to the king or queen which one it is, and they're so dependent on their slaves to make these decisions for them, what they're going to eat, that whatever the slave does first, it's as if there's explicit consent by the king and queen, that's what we want. And that's only by a king or queen. V'otanya. And proof to this, we saw in a brisa, Ein nimnin al shnei psachim ke'echod. There's no such thing as a regular person who is registered on two Korban Pesachs, and then just he'll decide later which one he's going to eat. U'maisa b'melech u'malka. There was an incident with a king and queen, she'omru lavdem, that they said to them, the slaves, Tzu v'shochtu aleinu es ha-pesach, go and shecht for us a Korban Pesach. V'yotzu v'shochtu aleim shnei psochim, and they shechted two Korban Pesachs. Bo v'sho'alu es ha-melech, they asked the king, what should we do here? You've now been registered on two Korban Pesachs. Which one is the Korban Pesach? And they were registered on the two korbonis were probably, or let's assume that one of them was, Rashi says, one of them was a kid and one of them was a lamb. Obviously, the slaves didn't know what the king would want, and this they shechted both, similar to the case of our Mishnah. Omar lehen, so they asked the king what to do. The king said, I'm not a poisek, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I'm not that wise. Go l'chur sha'olu es ha-malka, go and ask my wife, the queen. She's very wise and very learned. She'll know what the halacha is. Ba'ova sha'olu min ha-malka. They came to ask the queen, what's the halacha? Omro lehem, the queen said, I don't know. L'chur sha'olu es Rabban Gamliel. Go and ask Rabban Gamliel. Ba'ova sha'olu es Rabban Gamliel. So they came to ask Rabban Gamliel, what should we do? Omar lehem, he said to them, Malka u'melech. In the case of a king and queen, and only in the case of a king and queen, the daiton kala, they're so not particular. Daiton kala aleim, they're so not particular. They're so are not fussy about whether they're eating lamb or they're eating kids. They have so much of any delicacy in the world that it really doesn't make a difference if this particular animal is going to be kid or it's going to be lamb. Yoichlu min arishin. We assume that the first thing that was shechted, that's what the one that the king and queen are okay with, and the other one is just not valid. Anan, however, irregular people, loy noicha, loy min arishin, v'loy min asheni. Regular people are not king and queen, then where it's not to be taken for granted that if you send a slave and you're relying on your slave and your slave shechts too, it's as if you shechted too. If you shechted too, it's as if you were registered on two Korban Pesachs. If you shecht and you're registered on two Korban Pesachs, you cannot eat not the first one and not the second one. It's only the king and queen who they're so dependent on their slaves for their food that it makes no difference to them which one was shechted. Therefore, we assume that the first one is the Korban Pesach and the second one is just not counted. V'shuv pamachas, another incident, that nimtzeis haltar, they found it's some latar could be translated as a lizard, and it's one of the creatures which when they dead, it's one of the shrotzim, and they have a severe type of tumor with them. And they once found a seemingly dead lizard, but beis hamidbachaim in the royal kitchen, in the kitchen of the king and queen, ubikshu letamei kol asuda kula, and they assumed or they wanted to take on that all the food had become tummy because this lizard had been around and is dead, and it was made everything tummy. They came to ask the king, what's the halacha? He said, go and ask my wife, the queen. She's very learned and wise. They asked the queen. She said to them, go and ask Rabban Gamliel. They went to ask Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel says, this lizard that was found in the kitchen, when the lizard was found, assumingly dead, was it in a hot state, or was it cold? And we can only assume that would probably have influenced the halacha. Or maybe not. Maybe it's just Rabban Gamliel knew that in the event that it was hot, it could be it wasn't yet dead, which we're about to see. But either way, he asked them, was it hot, was it cold? Omruloi, they said to him, Roseach, we found this lizard in boiling hot. Obviously some boiling hot water or something else had gone in it and killed it. And now it made everything tummy, a dead lizard. A dead latar is one of the shrots in which makes everything tummy. Omar Lohen, so Rabban Gamliel said to them, L'chu govi tilu oleo kois shel tzoinon, pour a cup of cold water or some cold liquid on top of this latar and see what happens. Holchu they went, v'itilu oleo kois shel tzoinon, they poured on it a cup of tzoinon, v'richasha, and it started moving, it started squirming around, and they realized it wasn't dead yet. And v'tir Rabban Gamliel es ha-suda kula, and Rabban Gamliel said, the whole suda is tohir, because the lizard was not dead, it's not dead, it doesn't have this severe tumor on it. Nimtza, so it transpired that Melech Toli b'Malka, the king was dependent on the queen, v'nimtza is Malka Tluya b'Rabban Gamliel, and the queen was dependent on Rabban Gamliel. Nimtza, so it transpired that Kol Asuda Tluya b'Rabban Gamliel, the entire meal, the feast of the king and queen, was dependent on Rabban Gamliel. Continues the Gemara. Shochach ma sha'omar raboy v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that if the slave forgot what his master told him, that means his master gave him an explicit instruction whether to shecht a lamb or a kid, and the slave forgot, what should he do? So we saw in the Mishnah, he has two. He takes a lamb and a kid, and he makes a condition. He says, if my master wanted the kid, then the kid is his Korban Pesach, and the lamb is mine. And if he wanted lamb, the lamb is his, and the kid is mine. So this concept of a slave saying, it's mine, it's not mine, the Gemara has an issue with that. Sheli, it's mine, Masha kono evet kono rabbi. We know that everything that a slave acquires actually belongs to the master. So you're going to have, even if a slave buys, let's say, a lamb, and he has the kids that he bought for his master, they both belong to the master. So you're going to have two korbonis, both shechted for the master. Then how have you solved the issue here? Both animals belong to the master. So he can't say one of them is his korban pesach, one of them is my korban pesach. There's no mine here. Omar Abaya, Abaya answered that Hoylech Etzel Roye Harogil Rabbi Etzloi. He should go to a shepherd, a type, one of the shepherds that we assume and take for granted that he wants to help the master. It's somebody who the master had done business with in the past, and he knows that if we don't find a solution here, then the master will not be able to eat any Korban Pesach, because whatever the slave is going to do is going to be a problem. Because he doesn't know what his master, he can take a guess, but there's a good chance that his master will not be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. So this person, this shepherd who wants to help the master, he's going to help out and be the solution here. How? He's going to go to that second shepherd, denichale betekanta de rabbi, a shepherd who wants to benefit the master. Umaknele chad minayhu al menos she'en le rabbi roshusboy. And he actually gives it to the slave, and if somebody else gives the slave anything to acquire and makes a condition that I'm giving it to you on condition that your master has no part in it, then that's valid, and indeed the master will have no part. So over here, he's going to go to this shepherd. The shepherd is going to give him two animals, one the kid, one the lamb, and he's going to tell him that any one of them is for your master, and the other one is for you with that added condition, on condition that your master has no part in it. And then we don't say that Masha kono eved kono raboy, what the slave acquires, the master acquires. That's not the case if the person who's giving it to the slave conditions it to the fact that, to this aspect that the master is excluded and is not going to acquire it. And if so, he has now two animals and he can make this condition. He can say, if my master wanted a kid, then the kid is the master's and the lamb is mine. And so too, the other way around, and we will not have an issue of Masha kono eved, kono rabbi. Continues the Gemara. Shochach rabbi Masha omar loy v'chulu. If the master gave an explicit instruction to the slave, go and shecht a kid or a lamb for Korban Pesach, but he told him exactly which one. And the slave forgot, and the master forgot. What's he do now? So we saw in the Mishnah that both of them have to be burnt, because either one of them might be, as we said before, the slave is going to say, if my master wanted the kid is his, the lamb is mine. And if not, then it's the other way around. But now the master doesn't know himself. So now you've got two korbanos here, and nobody knows which one is the master's, which one is the slave's. The slave forgot and the master forgot, and neither can eat either, because if it's not yours, you're not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach you're not been registered under. So what should they do? So the Mishnah said both of them have to be burnt, but since Hashem knew which one was whose, therefore they both have a kosher Korban Pesach, and they do not need to do a Pesach Sheni. Omar Abaya. Abaya said, when is it true that they don't need to do a Pesach Sheni and the Korban was kosher? Loishonu, we only learned that Elo Sheshochach Achazrika, providing that the master forgot what he'd asked for after the time that the animal has already been put on the Mizbeach, or the blood has already been put on the Mizbeach. The Be'idna de Izrik Dam, because at the time that the Zrikas Adam, the blood was thrown on the Mizbeach, Havachazi La'achila, at that point, the animal was worthy, was still edible, was still able to be eaten. Because the master still knew at the time what he wanted. He just forgot later. And since the Zrika was done at the right time, it's as if it's a kosher Korban Pesach. It's not about the right time. Since when the Zrika was done, then at that point, the master would still have been able to verify which was his, which was the slave's, and then they would be able to eat it. Then the Zrika was a good Zrika, and they've fulfilled their requirement, and they do not need to bring a Korban Pesach. Aval shochach lifnei zrika, if even before the blood was thrown on the Mizbeach, the master had already forgotten what he wanted, then d'chi izrak dam, then at the time that the blood was being put onto the Mizbeach, lehav achozi l'achila, already then it was apparent that nobody would be able to eat from this Korban Pesach because nobody remembers which one belongs to the master, which one belongs to the slave. And we know that a Korban Pesach, even though eating it is not ma'akev, it's, if you can't eat it, it doesn't mean you haven't been yotzer, but at least the zrika has to be done on a Korban Pesach that could have been eaten. And over here, at the time of the zrika, it couldn't be eaten anymore. And therefore, chayovim lasis Pesach Sheni, in that case, they would have to do a Pesach Sheni. Continues the Gemara, Ikka demasni lo, some say that this clause, this statement of Abaya, was not said on a case where you had a master and a slave and they've just forgotten what the master asked for, a kid or a lamb, and therefore they don't know which korban belongs to the master, which one belongs to the slave. But instead of saying on the Mishnah, some say that Abaya actually said what he said on a Braisa. What was the Braisa? Chamisha shenis arvu oiris pischeim ze bazeh. You had five people, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, and they all brought their own Korban Pesachs, and then the skins, the hides of the Korban Pesach got mixed in. They found a type of growth, a type of wart on one of the hides, one of the skins of one of the korbonis, and they don't know which one. And an animal that has this yabeles is posel. It's not a kosher korban. So we know that one of these five people, actually his Korban Pesach is posel, but they don't know which one because the skins all got mixed up. Kulon yotzim lebeis hasreifa. You've got no choice. Every one of these five korbanos may have korban pesachs may be posel, and therefore they all have to be burnt. None of them can be eaten. Upturin milasis pesach sheni. However, they are potter from bringing a pesach sheni, and we're going to have to discuss that. Why should they be potter from pesach sheni? At least one of them definitely had a posel korban. The other four, you can say, their korban was kosher. I just can't eat any of them because I don't know which one is kosher, which one is posel. But at least four of them, we know, the korban pesachs were kosher. One of them should definitely have to bring a korban pesach. We're going to discuss that soon in the Gemara. But either way, all five animals have to be burnt. They cannot be eaten. And they do not need to make a korban pesach sheni because each one can say that his korban was a kosher korban, and there was nothing wrong with this korban, and I just can't eat it, and that's okay. Omar Abaya, and then on this Abaya said, Lo yishonu elo shenis arvu l'achaz zrika. That's only true if the skins got mixed up after the zrika, which means at the time of the zrika, the four that were kosher, it was verified. That means their korban was sprinkled, the blood was put on the mizbeach for a korban that was actually edible at that time. Because those four, they can see which skins are theirs and they know which skins are kosher. The Be'idna d'Izrei Dam, because the time that the blood was put onto the mizbeach, Mio hava chozi l'achila. Those four could have still been able to eat from their korban. Aval this arvul if nezrik, if the skins got mixed up before the zrika sadam, then chayovin nasis pesach sheni, because they have to do another pesach sheni, because at that time when the blood was sprinkled or put on the mizbeach, it was already confused. And at that time, because all the skins had got confused, at that time already, it's clear that none of these five will be able to eat the korban pesach, even though only one of them was really posel, but none of them will be able to eat it. And we know that Aloch is a Korban Pesach whose blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach in a way that, or at a time where it's already become clear that it will not be able to be eaten, is posel. And therefore, it'll have to bring a Pesach Sheni. So says the Gemara, Man de Masnia Masnisin, Kolshkin Abraisa. There's one advantage to the Mishnah over this Braisa. Because in this Braisa, one of those five Korbonis were definitely completely posel. In the case of the Mishnah, it's a little bit easier because neither of the korbanos are posel, not the lamb, not the kid. Just nobody can eat it because we don't know which korban belongs to the master, which korban belongs to the slave. But there was nothing intrinsically wrong with the korban itself. So the Gemara is saying that if for those opinions who held that Abaya commented on the Mishnah, that even in the case of the Mishnah, where both korbonis were intrinsically okay, just They got mixed. We don't know. Everybody forgot. The master forgot and the slave forgot who was going to have the lamb, who was going to have the kid. Then if even in that case, Abaya says that if the master forgot before the Zrika, it's possible and they have to bring Pesach Sheni, of Kolchkin Abrice, of course he's going to say it when before the Zrika, the skins got mixed up. And in that case, there's a much worse issue because one of those korbanos are actually possible. There's somebody there that even Klapei Shemaya, somebody has to bring a Pesach Sheni. In the case of the Mishnah, where you've got a slave and the master, over there, Klapei Shemaya, there's no psul here. Hashem knows what the master wanted. They don't know. And if even there, Abaya said, even in the Mishnah, where Klapei Shemaya, there's nothing wrong here. And nonetheless, since the Zrika was done at a time where practically they couldn't be able to eat it because they'd already forgotten, it's possible, of course it'll be the same in the Braisa. But Mandemasnia Braisa, those opinions who say that Abaya commented on the Braisa, it could well be Avulamasnisin Loi. It could be that if Abaya maybe only said his halacha on the Braisa. In the Braisa, where one of the five korbanos were definitely possible and the skins got mixed up, then at that point, all five, they don't know whether their korban was possible, and the Zrika was done at a time where there's a chance that each one of those five couldn't eat the korban, their korban. Therefore, it's the Zrika is possible and the korban is possible. They have to bring a Pesach Sheni. But maybe Abaya will agree that in the case of our Mishnah, where nothing is really possible, it's just they're forgotten, that maybe not. Maybe in that case, they do not need to bring a Pesach Sheni, even if they forgot before the Zrika, kiven d'ksheir ninu, since they are kosher. There's nothing wrong with the animal. Di idkar, have a chazi l'achila. Proof to that would be that in the event that the master would afterwards remember what he actually said, whether it was a kid or a lamb, they would be able to eat it. If it's not something intrinsically wrong with a group of five, then one of them is definitely possible. In the case of the Mishnah, it could well be that the master will remember, maybe even if the slave will remember, but they'll remember what the master asked for, and then everybody will be able to eat a Korban Pesach. Kamashmai Galia. And since Hashem knows what the master wanted and what Korban belongs to the slave, I may have thought in that case, even if it got forgotten before the Zrika, it will actually be kosher enough that they do not need to bring a Pesach Sheni. Continues the Gemara, Omar Mar, we just saw in a Braisa that if you have five people that they all had a Korban Pesach and the skins got mixed up between them, and later it became apparent that one of the Korban Pesachs was completely possible. It had a yabeles on it, a wart, a type of a growth, which made this Korban possible. Then we said that none of them can eat any of the Korban Pesachs because you don't know which one was possible. However, Pturin Milasis Pesach Sheni, they are all exempt from bringing a Pesach Sheni. Asks the Gemara, V'ho'ik achad d'loy nofik. We know that definitely one of those five korbanos was possible. So one of those five people definitely didn't bring a Pesach Rishon. So how can you exempt them from bringing a Pesach Sheni? Says the Gemara, you're right. One of them definitely didn't bring a Pesach Rishon. However, Mishum d'loy efshar. Because there's no way that they can bring a Pesach Sheni. And since you can't bring a Pesach Sheni, the Braisa says, Upturin Milasis Pesach Sheni, that practically speaking, they are exempt of bringing Pesach Sheni, not because there's no such requirement that, according to the letter of the law, they should have to bring a Pesach Sheni. We have no choice. There's no way of bringing a Pesach Sheni. And the Gemara is now going to go through a number of different options, how they could bring a Pesach Sheni, and prove how none of these options are viable. Hey, Chalavid, what are you suggesting? Okay, so you've got Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, five people. One of them haven't brought a Korban Pesach. Four of them have brought a Korban Pesach. And we don't know which one. How are you going to bring a Pesach Sheni that's going to satisfy this situation? Leisa kol chad v'chad Pesach. Okay, most basic, unreasonable, but the one that makes the most sense at first glance is let all of them bring a Pesach Sheni, because any one of them maybe didn't bring a Pesach Rishon. Says the Gemara, you can't do that. You can't just bring, if four of them are going to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni, well, only one of them actually has to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni, and the other four are not Korban Pesachs at all. If they're not Korban Pesachs, it's like bringing Chulin, which is an animal which is not Hektish, it's just a regular animal, and Shechting in the Azorah, you can't do that. You're not allowed to Shecht a Korban just like that as a Korban if it's not a real Korban, if it's not Hektish. Four of them have already brought a Korban Pesach, they can't bring another Korban Pesach. So the Gemara now says, okay, we have a second option. Leisa kulhu chad Pesach. Bring a single Korban Pesach between all five of you. You'll all be registered on this Korban Pesach, and the one of you which wasn't Yetzer will have this Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, no, it can't be, because they can't all eat from this Korban Pesach, and actually none of them can eat from the Korban Pesach, because every one of these five might be one of the four that doesn't need to bring a Korban Pesach, and therefore cannot eat from this Korban Pesach, and so therefore Nimtza Pesach Nechel Shelo Limnuyov. If they're all going to eat from the Korban Pesach, at least four of them ate from a Korban Pesach without being registered. If you've already done Pesach Rishon, then there's no value in registering to a Pesach Sheni. You're not called registered there because you're not required to bring a Pesach Sheni. So if all five are going to eat from the Korban Pesach, then at least four of them have eaten from a Korban Pesach without being registered on it. And that's also. Hi, Mai. So what are you going to suggest? A third solution. Naisa kol chad minayu pischoi. That each one of them has to bring their own independent Korban Pesach. V'nisni, and have to make a condition. And say as for the name, and he'll say as follows. Edidi balmum, if my Korban Rishon was the one that was posel, was blemished, then hi da'isi hashta, then this animal I'm bringing now on Pesach Sheni, nehav a Pesach, will be a Korban Pesach for me. V'edidi tam, however, if my Korban Rishon was the non-blemished one, was the animal that was totally okay, then hi da'isi hashta, then this Korban that I'm bringing now will not be a Korban Pesach. Nehav a shlomi, will just be a regular Korban Shlomim, and there's no problem to bring a Korban Shlomim to the Beis HaMikdash. There will be a little bit of an issue here that we know that Korban Pesach has to be shechted after the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim, and the Korban Shlomim must be shechted before the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim. You're not allowed to shecht a Korban after the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim. That's something that Tosfos Yuma Daf Chof Tes discusses, and we don't need to discuss that here. But the Gemara is saying that each one of them, they should each bring a Korban, a single Korban, and make a Tanai, a condition. Either this is a Korban Pesach, or it's a Korban Shlomim, and in the night they'll eat it, and then it would seem that we've taken care of it. And the Gemara is going to say no. We have two intrinsic issues with doing that. Number one, says the Gemara, Loi Efshar, you cannot do that, Mishum De'ika Chozer V'Shoik. We have an issue with the Chozer, and the sheik, which is two parts of the animal, which are given actually to the, as a gift to koyanim, and that only applies by a korban shlomim. There's no chiyuv of giving the chozer v'sheik to the jaw and the thigh, and giving it to the koyan. The koyanim would achlile. So you can't make a tanai and say either it's a korban pesach or it's a korban shlomim. What are you going to do with the chozer v'sheik? If it's a korban pesach, then a koyan can't eat it, because it's Korban Pesach, and only this person can eat it. It's his Korban. Somebody who's not registered on a Korban Pesach is not allowed to eat from this Korban Pesach. And if it's a Shlomim, then the owners are not allowed to eat it. They have to give it to the Kohen. So we can't make such a condition. Now the Gemara is going to offer a couple of solutions how we can get around the Chozer V'Shoik issue. The Gemara is asking, V'neima, V'naisi, kol chad v'chad koyin ba'adei. You have five people. They're each bringing their Korban Pesach, which is Sofik Pesach, Sofik Shlomim. Each one of them will register a koyin with them. And this koyin, he'll be registered on this animal, that if it's Korban Pesach, he'll eat the Korban Pesach with them. If it's a Shlomim, he'll eat the Chozer V'Shoik. Either way, the Kohen will eat the Chozer V'Shoik, and we have no issue. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Hai Kohen Echadomi, what's the status of this Kohen? Ida Ovid Pesach, if this Kohen has already done the Korban Pesach in the first Pesach, Dilma Hai Pesachu, he can't eat this Chozer V'Shoik. Maybe this animal is a Korban Pesach. He's not allowed to eat any part of it. V'nimto Pesach Nechal Shleilim Nuyov. If you give him the Chozer V'Shoik, then he's going to be eating Korban Pesach, he's not registered on it. V'idaloi Ovid Pesach, and if that Korban, if that Kohen has not yet done a Korban Pesach, and indeed he needs to bring a Korban Pesach no less than this person does, well, Dilma Shlomimhu V'loi Ovid Pesach. Let's remember, each one of these five is bringing a Korban that Sofik Shlomim, Sofik Pesach. So if you have a Kohen that definitely doesn't need a Korban Pesach, then he's not allowed to eat the chaz of a shoik because maybe this korban is a korban pesach. If you were bringing a kohen who definitely does need a pesach sheni, we have an issue. He cannot join here because maybe this is not even a korban pesach. Maybe it's a korban shlomim. He can eat the chaz of a shoik. That's fine if it would be a korban shlomim. But this kohen needs a korban pesach because you say that you're talking about a kohen that hasn't done pesach rishon. Dilma Shlomim hu v'loy ovid Pesach. Maybe this is a Korban Shlomim and this Kohen won't have a Korban Pesach. So you can't have a Kohen that definitely needs a Korban Pesach, Sheini, and he should be registered on a group on a Korban Pesach, which is only a Sofik Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, okay, so I'll have another solution. V'naisi kol chamisha chad Kohen d'loy ovad Pesach. You know what? You have five people. They're each going to bring their own animal and make this condition that each of these five korbonis is a Sofik Korban Pesach, Sofik Shlomim. They'll find a single kohen, not each one have their own kohen, one kohen that deloy avad Pesach that definitely hasn't done Pesach Rishon and he needs Pesach Sheni. V'nimnu ilavei hani chamisha psochim. And he's going to be registered on all five of these animals. And we know that of these five animals, only one of them is really a Korban Pesach. The other four are Shlomim, because we know that only one of the original Korban Pesachs were possible. So if you've got a single Kohen that's registered on all five of these animals, now then the Kohen is going to eat the Chozev Ashoik of all five animals, that's perfect. On the four of them, which are Shlomims, the Kohen's eaten Chozev Ashoik of the Shlomim. And the one which is a Korban Pesach, he'll eat the Chaz of a Shoik of that one, and then he'll have eaten from the Korban Pesach, and he'll have been Yoitza. And exactly how you can do this, there's an issue with Ein Maftir Nacha Pesach Afi Koyman. How's this Kohen going to eat five times Chaz of a Shoik when any one of them could be the Korban Pesach? Well, maybe he's eating Shlomim after the Korban Pesach. That's an issue which is discussed in the Mefarshim. But this seems to be a good solution. The Mimonovshuch, because whichever way you hold it, Ikechad Deloy Ovid Pesach. One of these five people didn't bring a Pesach Rishon. One of these five Korbonis are definitely a Korban Pesach. But Konafkebe, and then this Kayan will be Yetzer with the Korban Pesach. So if so, we found a solution to the issue of Chozev Ashoik. So why can't you make a condition? Why do the Braisa say that these five, none of them make a Pesach Sheni? Because there's no option. I've got an option. Each one will bring a Korban that Sofik Pesach, Sofik Shlomim. They'll have a single Kohen that's joining all five. He will eat the five Chozev Ashoiks, and everything will be fine. Why have you not got that solution? Elo says, the Gemara, you're right. There's no issue with Chozev Ashoik. You found a good solution. There's another issue. Mishom dekom emayit b'chilas kodshim. Because you're going to minimize the amount of time that you're eating kodshim. And Rashi even says it's even worse than that. Is you're going to actually burn, the mitzvah of burning the kodshim is going to be at a time where possibly it's still allowed to be eaten. Because the Korban Pesach, Leyoim v'laylo, then it's allowed to be eaten until the end of the night of the 15th of, talking about Pesach Sheni, till the end of that night of the 15th of Pesach Sheni. And the next morning, the morning of the 15th, whatever's left over gets burnt. V'iru shlomim, however, in the event that it's a shlomim, and each one of these korbonis is sofik Pesach, sofik shlomim. If it's a shlomim, it can be eaten. L'shnei yomim v'laylo echod, it can be eaten for the whole day of the 15th, and only becomes noisar the night of the 16th, and is burnt the day of the 16th. So if it's a Pesach, then it's noisar on the day of the 15th, it has to be burnt. But the day of the 15th is a time that you could still eat it if it was shlomim. How can you burn it? And since the time for burning a Korban Pesach and the time for burning the Korban Shlomim is not the same, therefore you cannot make this condition, this Tanai, Sofik Shlomim, Sofik Pesach. So the Gemara is going to try one more solution to the issue of how these five people could actually bring a Korban Pesach and a korban pesach sheni. V'nayasi moisar ha-pesach. We know there's a concept called moisar ha-pesach, a leftover pesach, something that was a korban pesach on the 14th of Nisan. For whatever reason, it didn't get shechted. They had another korban, they lost this one. The different cases where, for whatever reason, you have something that was dedicated and designated to be a korban pesach, and it was not shechted as a korban pesach. Now, after the 14th of Nisan, it's called Maisar HaPesach, a leftovers of the Pesach. That's one option. Another option is that they collected money from the whole group for the Korban Pesach. They had leftover money. The change of the money has to be used for a Korban Pesach. But now it's after Pesach. It's called Maisar HaPesach, the change of the Pesach. So if so, the same solution that we saw before, we know that Moisar HaPesach has all the halachas of a shlomim, besides for one. One of the difference, or the difference is, that Moisar HaPesach, even though it's a shlomim, is only eaten yom v'laylo. So the last issue we just had now, with making this condition, Sofik Pesach, Sofik Shlomim, what was the issue? That the shlomim is going to have, that if it's a Pesach, it's going to be burnt on the day of the, on the day after, on the next day, on the 15th, and if it's, however, according to, if it's a shlomim, it will only be burnt on the day of the 16th. We can solve that issue by having the same condition, but instead of saying Sofik Pesach, Sofik Shlomim, say as follows: here's a korban. If I have to bring a korban Pesach, this is a korban Pesach. If I don't need to bring a korban Pesach because my Pesach Rishon was kosher, then this will have the status of Moisar HaPesach, of a leftover Korban Pesach, and then it's going to be burnt at the same time as it would be burnt Korban Pesach, and we've solved the issue. V'neiman, he'll say, Ididi Balmum, if my Korban Rishon was blemished, had the Yabeles, Hai Da'aisi Hashta, the one I'm bringing now, Nehave Pesach, will be a Korban Pesach. Ididi Tam, if my Korban Rishon, Korban Pesach Rishon, was not blemished, was whole, have a new Hi, the Aisi Hashta Shlomim, then this korban, the status of this one I'm bringing now, will be a Shlomim de Moisar HaPesach. Nechal l'yoyim v'laylo. It will be a Shlomim with the status of Moisar HaPesach, and Moisar HaPesach is eaten just yoyim v'laylo, like the korban Pesach. So we don't have the issue that we mentioned before of Memayit b'chilas Shlomim. Asks the Gemara, v'chima frishin tchilo l'moisres. The whole concept of Moisar HaPesach means it was a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and for some reason it got left over. Now you can shecht it as a shlomim. But you can't take a new Korban and say, if it's a Korban Pesach, if I need a Korban Pesach, it's a Korban Pesach. If not, it will be change of a Korban Pesach. It's not change of a Korban Pesach because it wasn't a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. You can't look at tchilo make a moisres make change. Says the Gemara, v'nitzrichu v'naisu moisar ha-pesach. Why don't the Chachomim force them to look for the animals which are themselves moisar ha-pesach? And then those animals, or the money which is moisar ha-pesach, they'll bring it and they'll make this condition. If it's Korban Pesach, no problem. The moisar ha-pesach will be used for Korban Pesach. If I don't need a Korban Pesach sheni, it will keep its status of moisar ha-pesach, be a shlomim which is only eaten l'yoyim v'layla. And as we said before, they can make such a condition. Elo, says the Gemara, the issue is not that v'chima frishin tchilo l'moisres. That's not the issue, because indeed, as far as that's concerned, we could force them to search for a real Moisar HaPesach. Elo, we have another issue, mishum smicha, that if you have a Korban Pesach and a Moisar HaPesach has all the halachas of a shlomim. A shlomim, one has to do smicha, one has to lean on an animal. Korban Pesach, there was no smicha. Deilu Pesach, loy boy smicha. Ve'ilu Moisar, boy smicha. Moisar HaPesach, which is the status of a shlomim, you have to lean on it. If it's a Korban Pesach, you don't lean on it. So how can you make a condition and say, if it's a Korban Pesach, it will be a Korban Pesach? If not, it will be Moisar HaPesach. If you do smicha on an animal and you lean your whole weight on an animal, assuming it's a shlomim, and in truth it's a Korban Pesach, it's as if you've benefited from a Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to lean on an animal of hektish on a Korban Pesach. You can't rest your whole weight on a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach doesn't need smicha. So we're going to have an issue with that. Says the Gemara, you're right that you cannot make such a condition because of the issues with leaning. Ha'tinach korban anoshim. That's all very true regarding a korban of the men. And there's a very big discussion how to learn this Gemara, but one of the explanations are that if you took the Moisar HaPesach, which we're suggesting that we're forcing you to find a Moisar HaPesach and use that for your korban here, for your tanai, then if that original korban Pesach belonged to a male, belonged to a man, you're right. Men do smicha, and then that korban, you cannot do smicha, you have an issue. But korban noshim, if that original korban, which is now Moisar HaPesach, belong to a woman, Ma'ikel Meima, what are you going to say there? A woman's korban never needs smicha, even a shlomim. So the Moisar HaPesach from a woman's korban doesn't need smicha. And at least in that case, if you find five Moisar HaPesachs that belong to a woman, they could all bring this korban Pesach and bring it as a tanai. Either it will be a Pesach or it will be a Moisar HaPesach, and they won't need smicha because the original animal didn't need smicha, wasn't belonged to a woman. So at least that would be a solution. Says the Gemara, no, there's another issue why we cannot make it a Moisar HaPesach, Elo Mishum Matonois, because of the way that the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Di'ilu Pesach, regarding the Korban Pesach, Matono Achas, it was the blood was applied to the Mizbeach, just with a single application. Ve'ilu shlomim, but regarding a korban shlomim, we know, shtayim shein arba, you have to sprinkle the blood on two opposite corners, and since the blood gets put onto the corners, it's going to spread on either walls adjacent to that corner, and if you do it on two opposite corners, then even though you've only applied the blood twice, but in effect it's gone on all four walls of the Mizbeach, that's how you have to apply the blood of the Shlomim. So here you're going to have Sofik Pesach, Sofik Moisar HaPesach, which has the status of Shlomim. How are you going to apply the blood on the Mizbeach? Says the Gemara, that's not an issue. My nafkamina, what's the difference? What none did we not learn in the Mishnah? Kol anitnin al mizbeach achitzain, any korbonus where the blood is put on the outer mizbeach, shenitnon b'matan achas, if you apply it on a single application on the mizbeach, kipir, it's atoned, and the animal, the korban is kosher. So just apply it once, and even if it's a Moisar HaPesach, which has the status of a shlomim, it will still be kosher. Elo mishum de ilu pesach b'shficha v'ilu shlomim b'zrika. Says you're right that as far as the number of applications of the blood, it's okay to do it one either way. However, the type of application is different. The korban pesach, it's actually poured onto the wall very gently. V'ilu shlomim, however, korban shlomim, the blood is thrown onto the wall of the mizbeach, onto the corner of the Mizbeach. So what are you going to do? You have an animal which is Sofik Pesach, Sofik Moisar HaPesach, which is Shlomim. How are you going to apply the blood? You're going to apply it with a gentle pouring, or are you going to throw the blood on the Mizbeach? Says the Gemara, this too is not an object. My nafkamina, what's the difference? Tanya, we learnt in a Braisa, Kol Anitnim Bezrika, any korban that you threw the blood on the Mizbeach, or that you were supposed to throw the blood on the Mizbeach, shenitnon b'shficha, that you didn't throw it, you just gently poured it onto the wall of the Mizbeach, yotzo yoyetza. So either way you can do it b'shficha, you can do it by pouring, and it will be kosher. So what's the issue? Says the Gemara, you're right. Eima deka amrinon dieved. Well, you just said now that it doesn't matter if you pour it or if you, there's even a type of korban that you need to throw it. For example, a korban shlomim, it's okay if you pour it, but that's only b'di'eved. If you poured it and you didn't throw it, it's kosher. Lekatchila namia, you're going to suggest that lekatchila you should bring a korban that is made, Sofik Pesach, Sofik has the status of Shlomim, and you're going to lekatchila pour the blood on the Mizbeach, when in the event it's a Shlomim, what you're supposed to do is throw the blood on the Mizbeach. We cannot allow you to lekatchila do something which is not the way it's supposed to be done, and therefore, bottom line, we have no solution whatsoever. We cannot bring a Sofik Pesach, Sofik Moisar HaPesach, and therefore, these five people, we have no choice other than to tell them that there's no way they can do a Pesach Sheni, and that's why the Braisa says that Pturin, they're exempt of bringing a Pesach Sheni. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.